Okay. So.
Okay. Going back to the discussion. So, can you open the Memorite one to see what is the difference? I didn't have the time to put the one in standard.
Is this Samsung?
The Samsung. If you go down, Memorite.
Memorite.
Yeah. That one.
I
want
to see this.
Totally different, right? Yeah, either one. Yes, totally different. So, well, first there is a clear threshold. You know, there is something going on that it cannot do better for the request.
So you mean at around?
Yeah, and
500 kilobytes or something like that. The average time start increasing.
Yeah, but you see that this line seems like there is no way you can do better than this line over here. In the sense that.
So there is a lower bound on.
Exactly.
IO time.
Yeah.
That could be purely because of the size of the request. It could be proportional to the size of the request.
Right. But if you see, that doesn't happen in the Samsung disk. Or actually it does, right?
It does, yes. There is a lower bound there as well.
Right.
Except there is one outlier, I think. Here.
Yeah, there is a lower bound. Yeah.
There's one outlier here, but yeah, there seems to be
a lower bound.
Yeah.
Right.
And so is it here?
So how? Okay. So we have three types of cleaning points, right? Again.
Three possible. There may be more.
There may be more. Yeah. Which is time, watermark, and the other one is idle time.
And my guess is that we may be triggering idle time as well because we are doing synchronous requests.
Yeah, but the thing is that most of the time most of the times there is at least one request in the device, right? Or there is one request in the device.
That's true, yeah. So if it's timeout based,
mm-hmm.
if the idle time is based on timeout
mm-hmm.
of available requests, then you're right, because we always keep the disk busy. And
the other thing is that with the idle time is that you need another policy, because at some point you're going to run out of free space to do the next write, which means that you have to bring in.
That's the watermark.
That would be the watermark.
I think that would be the watermark.
Okay.
Watermark based on free space.
Okay, so I think we can. Well, I don't know. I think for now, because we don't have an idle time in those files. So I guess at this point we can say that safely. We can say that there is no idle. Clean possible.
I mean, we can mostly discount it, but there's always a possibility that the disk chooses to say that, well,
let's make it this way.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the timeout mechanism, I guess. But I think it is safe to assume that the third policy is probably not being demonstrated in our experiment,
mm-hmm.
the idle policy.
Okay.
So it could be based on watermark, which is what the design trade-offs paper specifies, is that it is based on watermark, cleaning is based on watermark, right? And I think a couple of other papers which maybe refer to that paper also,
mm-hmm. but
to make the same assumption.
In the trade-off paper, they based that on what paper or recommendation?
I don't think they based on anything. I don't remember seeing a reference to that.
Okay. So they just say that for them that's an assumption.
Yeah, but certainly look at that paper again.
Mm-hmm.
We might have missed something about where they find it. But I'm wondering what would happen if instead of, let's say, 50 requests, I issued much larger number of requests after a period of idle time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I have idle time for, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds or 1 minute, and then I issued requests of much larger number of requests of a fixed size.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say 10,000 requests of each 256 kilobytes.
Okay.
Then what kind of times would I observe? What would be the distribution of those times? I guess the point is that with each request size, we have to somehow trigger cleaning independently of the previous request size.
Yeah, you know that the experiments that you saw of the Samsung before, I was doing a 5 second delay between request size. That's something that I didn't do with this experiment.
Okay.
Surely it's a good idea.
Also, there is a difference between how you did this and the Samsung?
No. In this case, both are the same.
Okay.
But the one that you saw before, that is a line, that is almost
this line,
or no, probably I'm talking about not experiments.
What I'm saying is that we need to trigger cleaning for each request size independently of the cleaning that the previous request size would trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we create that behavior? So let's say we pick a request size and we now ensure that there is no cleaning because of any previous request, and then we start writing one request size, a large number of
requests. So one thing we know is that if we keep writing a lot, you know, like having the queue size of 50, or let's say for each request size, you have 50 requests that you want to send. So we can do something like we send all of them at the same time, which means asynchronously, which means that the queue will be full all that time.
The queue of the I/O scheduler.
Of the I/O scheduler. That is, each time it finishes a request, there is an order coming. So, the idea is that at some point, we fill all the free blocks that the SSD has in order to serve all that.
Sure.
So
but even if you do that with synchronous, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, because from a SSD point of view,
mm-hmm.
whether you have synchronous or asynchronous requests, the SSD is always going to see one request at a time.
Right, but the thing is that you have a delay between those two requests, right?
Right, but they will, yeah, the question is how big that difference in delay is.
At all, it's not much.
But here, there is one explanation for why this is happening. So after a period of time is when you see the response time actually
increasing,
one explanation could be that the cleaning thresholds for memorite is very high. So you write all these requests and there is no cleaning
at all
until you get to this point where you start doing some cleaning, and then the threshold is always, it is always at the threshold,
mm-hmm.
because you're always writing new data, and then there's always cleaning going on.
Right.
So cleaning is almost continuous beyond this point.
Okay.
That could be one explanation.
That could be one explanation.
And as to this guy, you see that there is no
cleaning at the beginning.
No cleaning at the beginning, but after, and the thresholds are perhaps pretty small for the Samsung, and then you start cleaning and there is continuous cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But not for all requests, only some requests. So there are, it's sort of interesting behavior.
Okay, let's see.
So there are some requests, some fraction of requests that maybe encounter cleaning, and some requests that do not encounter cleaning, or maybe there are two different classes of cleaning itself, because there is,
okay,
if you look at this line, this is the best possible performance, right?
Right.
But then there is a huge band in this area,
mm-hmm,
which means that there is some overheads here as well, but then there is another class of overheads here.
Okay, so probably,
so could it be that
you have,
whether you have cleaning in that specific package or block versus you have cleaning in some different flash package, maybe that's why there are two distinct bands here, depending on what sort of cleaning is going on inside.
Yeah, but I guess that SC has more than two flash packages, because it's 32 gigs.
Yeah, it probably has maybe 8 flash packages, right? This is Samsung. We assume that it's a 4 gigabyte flash package. Maybe there are 8 flash packages inside.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean to say is that if you do a write operation, and if there is cleaning going on within a flash package,
mm-hmm,
the question is it happening in the same plane, or is it can be done in parallel with the write operation?
Right.
Something like that. And the other thing we need to remember is that a write request may span multiple flash packages.
Right.
And it depends on how the cleaning was taking place earlier. So what I was thinking is that, so remember when I made this graph, where we have response time, and this is request number.
Right.
And I said, well, we need to issue several requests, and for each request size, and at some point, maybe we start seeing a different kind of pattern.
Yeah.
Right? So this is with, let's say, pattern size equals 4K. And then you will have something similar, maybe pattern size equals 512. And then maybe you will have something which is more like this. This pattern size equals 1 megabyte. If this is the block size, then the overheads when the system is doing cleaning versus when it is not, is going to be lesser, the variance.
Yeah. So I did this this reference. I don't know if you remember that graph.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But how many requests was in each?
256 requests.
256 requests.
You see? Mm-hmm. I was supposed to meet at 5, actually.
No, we decided to meet at 1 o'clock, you remember? You said 1 is better for you. I said, how about 5, and then...
I thought it was 5. You said that you have a meeting at 3 p.m. with someone.
I know, and I said 5 o'clock, and then you said 5 o'clock is not good for me, and then I said, how about 1 o'clock? And you said 1 is better. I don't know. Today I have a meeting at 5. I scheduled you for 1 o'clock. I scheduled someone else for 5. So we have to meet at 6. Actually, 6, I have someone else coming here. So we'll have to meet at 7 or something.
Table.
Why don't you check at 5:30? Maybe I'll be done by 5:30.
Okay.
Then we can meet for half an hour.
Okay.
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 Yeah, but I do remember distinctly that you said 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Anyway, why don't you stop by at 5:30? So,
yeah, I did this graph, and I think I did it for 256 requests.
Yeah, so the question is 256 requests sufficient to trigger the cleaning?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the question. Yeah. And
yeah, because initially, or probably more, well, I don't remember. Because initially, we said something like, and we stop when we see some patterns changing.
So this graph is not in the wiki, right?
No, it's not in the wiki. Because the graph factor is the
oh, yeah, I remember now. Of course, you sent me that, and it was very completely unpredictable. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It was whatever. Exactly.
This one.
That one.
Yeah, okay. But there is a band, see?
Yeah, there is a band, sure.
And this is for the Samsung?
That's for Samsung. Yeah, and if you see the blue one, it's, you know, it's very low. While, for instance, the yellow thing, I don't know what is that, is more... Or
no, but that could be because of the size of the request.
Yeah.
But there's substantial, there's huge amount of difference. Right. So, for instance, the yellow triangles. Let's look at the yellow upright triangles, which is 256 kilobytes. And the average time there is about, I don't know, maybe 6 milliseconds or 8 milliseconds. Right. Do you know if there are a whole bunch of yellow triangles that are getting hidden because of this?
I don't know. Something I don't know. But it seems like in this small, this also has some blue triangles. See here? Which is 256. And actually, there is not much blue triangles.
There are blue triangles here, here, they're all here.
Yeah, but not much, right? Like, for instance, the orange triangle are more active at this span than the blue.
I'm not sure. I see a lot of blue triangles. Orange triangles are certainly more visible.
Right.
Because they are solid. The blue triangles are not. So.
Okay. I see.
I can believe that there are as many blue triangles as there are orange triangles.
I see what you mean. Yeah, actually there are some of blue triangles.
Yeah. But the interesting part is that there is, for instance, to read, what was that? 256 kilobytes?
Right.
You have,
right.
Most of the time you have around 8 milliseconds or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Why? How come that's so large? Oh, but there are some yellow triangles here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is there are several yellow triangles hidden behind these points. So there are two, maybe three different behaviors. One is optimal performance when the yellow triangles are here, and then there is one type of cleaning maybe when yellow triangles appear in this band, and then another type of cleaning that appear in this band.
It's huge, right? 50 milliseconds.
Yeah, that's pretty large. That is pretty large. So, for instance, let's say I'm going to write an entire block. How much time would that be?
Write an entire block?
So, it depends on the size of the block, of course.
Right, but let's say that is 256K. Okay. It's clean or not?
Let's say it's clean.
Okay. So, 25 microseconds per 4K.
No, that's read. I think write is...
Oh, 200 microseconds.
Per write.
Per write.
So, if I have
For 4K.
4K. So four. I have 64 4K.
Uh huh.
64 4K is 256.
Yeah,
64 times 200 microseconds.
200 microseconds.
Which is around 10 milliseconds. 10 milliseconds.
54 times 200. Right?
12 milliseconds.
12.
Which is probably in this range.
Yeah.
Which is probably in this range. But that's interesting. How? Why do I have points here?
It could be something about the right cache, the right buffer.
The right buffer, yeah.
But...
Oh yeah, that's true. We could completely ignoring that, right?
Yeah. No, the thing is that I'm trying to write as much as possible so the right buffer could be... boiled somehow.
Hmm. And there is no way to turn off the write buffer?
I don't know. Probably that depends on the device.
It would be good to see what happens when you, if there is a way to turn off write buffering for the same experiment. And if the numbers look different or not. Because it could be that these numbers here are because of write buffering and not the true response time. Mm-hmm. That's a good reasonable explanation. I mean, it's a reasonable explanation, but then... Yeah.
But the thing is that, how big could be the write buffer?
So, for instance, these could all be because of the write buffer. These.
That small band.
All of this could be because of the write buffer.
Okay. Yeah, and that probably also, that probably sustained this. So, all these could be write buffer, but after you increase the size, the write buffer cannot keep all the writes, and you have to add three or two media.
So no, and not just that, because you have previous writes which are also buffered in the media.
Yeah.
And
right.
Those need to be written as
well. Yeah, but that's why I was asking, how big could be the...
How big can be the write buffer? In disk drives, you can assume a write buffer of 1 megabyte, easily.
Probably the SSD is the same.
Probably true, especially these SSDs are also more expensive. They can afford to have more write buffer.
Right, but not much. I mean,
yeah.
Let's say double. It's just 2 megabytes, and I think I write more than 2 megabytes easily. Very quickly.
Correct.
Just by having 8 256 requests. You feel the whole buffer.
Yeah. But if you write small requests, then there is always, it could be that the requests are being flushed in the background and you always get to the write buffer.
Mm-hmm.
So the time between the requests is sufficient for the writes to be sent to medium. But beyond a certain point, maybe you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
And your response times start increasing. Because you have to wait for the current writes to be flushed to medium.
Before you can write.
And then also those writes may have to wait for cleaning to occur. And they get delayed. And that's why incoming writes can get
delayed. So I will try to disable the buffer.
Yeah, disable the write buffer. So there are, I think, two things that you can do. One is disable the write buffer. And the second thing is issue large number of requests to trigger cleaning forcibly and see what happens.
What do you mean by large number of requests?
For the same size. So the largest number of requests you did here was 256, right?
Mm-hmm. You mean 1,000?
Yeah. Even more. To see if there is any difference.
Okay.
You don't need to do it for all patterns.
Okay.
You can do it for a few.
Okay.
Now choose some sizes. Let's say 4K and let's say 64K and 512, something like that. Maybe 3 or 4 different sizes and 1 megabyte. I would say choose 4 or 5 different sizes and do much larger number of requests to see if after a certain point of time the response times change.
Okay.
With the same size.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, that's so what else do we have in the one thing which is still amazing me is why the response time curve and the throughput curves don't match.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that
so you have both these numbers, right?
Yeah. And the thing is that I made scatter plot to calculate the throughput instead of, I giving the throughput. And it gives exactly the same result.
But how is that possible?
I don't know. And probably,
I mean, you can look at one value and see if it actually makes sense.
Yeah, I did that. And it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So, these two, right?
Yeah. That is time completion.
This one is the D2C throughput. And here I have D2C IO time. What am I missing here? How can this be possible? Can you send me the source data for this? Because
yeah,
I want to figure out this mystery, because it seems like I have some very basic flaw in my understanding which I need to fix.
But if you have two linear functions and you divide one by the other,
You get a constant. Yeah.
No, you guys are impressive. Really?
Yeah, so this is... What is this? X-axis is y equals x. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So if you plot just the...
Yeah, I see what you mean. But if you have something like... you have a linear function represented as a, x, plus b.
Okay.
Divided by A prime X plus B prime.
Yeah, but in this case, it's just X.
Right? So I don't see how that could be a constant, because there are two polynomials. Because it's true, if you don't have the B, then you're done, right? But with the B, it's not that straightforward.
In fact, what is the numerator is the size of the request.
The size of the request.
Which is Y equals X. So your numerator is just X.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Numerator is
X.
And the denominator is
and denominator is, you don't know. It's a general linear function.
It's a response time, correct?
Right.
It's a linear function.
Yeah, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah, AX plus B. Correct?
So
So, if I want to do something,
because the thing is that both of them, yeah, no, there's a constant. Yes, you can do. No, you can. Yeah, you can do that.
I can do that. So I take out A, and then I have, let's say, X plus B divided by A minus B divided by A. Do something like that.
Yeah, you're done. No, you're not done.
Then I have 1 A, 1 plus,
1 minus,
minus
B
divided by A. That's what I have.
Right.
Okay, so that's
so
not linear.
So at the end you will have something like, you will have something like, A minus. Yeah, it's not linear. Things are not linear.
Yeah.
Well,
it's inversely proportional to X.
Yeah, it's inversely proportional to X. That should be.
But in the negative. But in the negative.
No, that doesn't make sense because that function will be something else.
No, but it's 1 minus that.
I think you flip it around. It's 1 minus. Oh, yeah. So,
you will see something here. Okay? Yeah.
You mean that it's in the negative?
It's not a negative, it's in the positive because we do this function.
Uh-huh.
The f
of x. Oh, I see.
It's 1 minus f of x.
Which is the rest.
Then I would have.
Yeah, you have almost zero here, and then. Yeah, so that makes sense.
My response, my sizes are increasing linearly, my response time is also increasing linearly. But my throughput.
But the thing is that the slope is different. No. The thing is that.
The thing is that there is a y-intercept. If there were no y-intercept.
Exactly.
The y-intercept for the response times were zero, then I would get a constant.
Exactly. But why is that?
Because at x equals 0, what happens? There is always a constant amount of overhead for each command.
Okay.
And that's why my y-intercept
is not 0.
It's not 0. Who's responsible? Interesting.
So the thing is that while, okay, so if we assume that the comment is zero, the comment overhead is zero, then you will have a constant throughput. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Because
why?
There is no overhead for issuing the command. The reason why you have different throughput at different
times.
Oh,
okay. It's because
of the overhead of issuing the command.
So what you're saying is that independently of how much data you have to read.
Yeah, you have the same rate at which you read it. The effective rate.
Exactly. You have the same effect as you read it. Yeah. So the throughput, right. So the time you spend in reading the same will be the same independent of the amount of work that you have to do. I mean, it's the same with respect to the time.
It makes perfect sense.
Okay. I see. Okay.
It's good to go back to the basics once in a while and realize how much you do not know.
Yeah, okay. So that's good.
Okay, I guess I should have figured this out, but even after seeing the graph, I was not ready to believe.
Yeah, I mean, me too, but I just come up with a general linear equation, and that's the key there.
Okay, this makes sense.
Okay, so...
Alright, that's good. So...
We could publish a paper about
that. People will laugh at that.
I'm sure people will be interested.
Yeah.
Okay, so this makes sense now.
Okay.
So
I think I completely forgot. George is not well, so he's not going to be able to make it at 3:00. We're supposed to come at 3:30 actually. So if you're going down, can you ask Sajeev to stop by at 4:00? I think 4:00. Yeah. Okay. 4:00 would work. I'll send him an email as well, but in case you see him just
no problem.
So yeah, I want to set up this PhD fellowship application.
Oh yeah, I have to work after this.